is Skyline Chili Cincy 360, about Cincinnati, from Cincinnati. Sponsored in part by Skyline Chili. Stop by Skyline Chili for a three-way or cheese coney today. Feeling good? It's Skyline time. This is ESPN 1530, Cincinnati Sports Station. Here are James Rapine and Mo Egger.
Here we are. I'm James Rapine. He is Mo Egger. This is Cincy 360 on a gloomy, doomy Monday. The weather awful. There's one thing that can make you, two things that can make you feel better on a day like today. One, it's Skyline Chili, so go get a three-way, get a couple cheese cones. The other one is the news that has to happen. That should happen, at least. That would happen if I was calling the shots, or you were calling the shots, or if Mo was calling the shots, or if Jimmy Sandy was calling the shots, or if anyone thought about this logically, this would be Marvin Lewis's final day. He would have coached his final game as Bengals head coach. Something tells me that won't be the case. Something tells me at 3 o'clock when he goes to the podium, he will be talking with the media just like they're 8-5. Instead, they're 5-6 in the Bengals. It continues to get worse following a 35-20 loss yesterday to the Browns. Today, it's got to happen. That's a loss that gets coaches fired everywhere.
Except what a great sports weekend. What a great sports weekend. You know, I mean, you had, I think, the best college basketball game of the regular season. Gonzaga and Duke, the UC Bearcats go to Destin, I think, did a bit of growing up in the two wins they had. And still, they have a long ways to go. But, you know, you saw offensively what this team can look like if you get a third score. And they did that against George Mason. Then I thought the way Kane Broome asserted himself in the second half against Ole Miss was big. Speaking of the Bearcats, a 50-point home win against ECU. The New York Knicks have won three consecutive games.
The New York
games.
Knicks are, come on.
College football playoff, we have a great debate burgeoning about who the fourth team should be.
Ohio State. It's not
crushed.
A debate.
Oh, I think it's a great debate. Ohio State crushes Michigan. If they win the Big Ten title and Oklahoma wins the Big 12 title, the Sooners probably have a better resume. So much happening right now. Bunch of really compelling NFL games. And you want to talk about Marvin Lewis?
Yeah, we have to talk about Marvin Lewis.
Why?
Because this should be the day.
What's there to say?
Today is the day.
Today's the day.
It should be the day. You know what I'm talking about? Seize the day?
Today for what?
Seize the day. He should be shown the door.
Okay.
Marvin Lewis shouldn't even have an office right now at Paul Brown Stadium.
But see, like,
Marvin Lewis should need an umbrella in this rain to take the stuff that probably has dust on it from his office because he's been the head coach since 2003.
Actually, it doesn't because he packed his stuff up because they were going to let him go last year.
Yeah.
There's a lesson here. Always go with your gut. Their gut last year was Marvin shouldn't come back. They win those final two games. Now Marvin's going to come back. Unpack your stuff. Move back in. I'm so bored with this. I'm so bored with this team. I'm so bored with this coach. Frankly, no offense, I'm so bored with this topic. Should Marvin be blown out today? Of course he should. Anybody who watches this remotely objectively would say the exact same thing. But I was there a year ago. Mm-hmm. I was there 12 months ago. And the frustrating thing is, so were the Bengals. Mm-hmm. But they won those last two games. And Marvin, because you know nothing's ever his fault, we just, hey, offensive line coach, it's his fault. Or James Urban, he's got to go. Or I need new coaches on defense. No. At some point, it's got to stick on Marvin. Mm-hmm. But the really frustrating thing for me is, let's say they did move on from him. Let's say they did whack him. You're getting Marvin 2.0. The juxtaposition yesterday was striking. Marvin Lewis and Hugh Jackson were standing as close as I've ever seen another coach stand next to Marvin Lewis in 16 years.
No doubt.
Why do you think that is? It's because Hugh is a direct extension of Marvin. So the frustrating thing for me is, yes, we should be talking about someone else coaching this team. But while you might one day get someone else coaching this team, chances are it's basically going to be the same guy. Hugh Jackson, who has somehow made the Bengals a bigger joke than they already were.
And I just have no idea, if you look at it logically at all, like even a little bit, Hugh Jackson was 3-36-1 as head coach of the Cleveland Browns. And he comes here and you're 0-2. Marvin Lewis takes more responsibility on, and so far his defense has fallen on its face. And yeah, they have had injuries. I don't care. They didn't show up yesterday. They didn't even show up to the game. It was the Cleveland Browns, by the way, where if you listen up there in Cleveland, they're laughing today. Mm-hmm. They were 0-16 last year, and they're laughing at your Bengals. Mm-hmm. They have their quarterback of the future. They're laughing at Blandy Dalton. Mm-hmm. They have a core that they feel like they can build around, and it's trending upward. Here, even though they're 5-6, We look at the Bengals, and there's no hope. There's nothing to believe in. I looked it up this morning, by the way, Mo, because I woke up really early on a day like today, and I did some deep thinking.
Yeah.
And I didn't do deep thinking about the Bengals, but you know what I did?
Yeah.
I looked up their record since that January 9th, 2016 playoff game against Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
18-24-1.
But what? You needed to look that up?
You can make – no, I did the math in my head. But the point is, you could make the argument, oh, well – Marvin Lewis deserved to come back after that year in 2015 when they went 12-4 and Andy Dalton breaks his thumb. Since then, he hasn't been a good coach, period. The results haven't been there. This was the year where he was supposed to show things could be different. He sat there back in January and said, things are going to be different. He looked me right in the eye. Things are going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And they started 4-1, and it started to feel like things were different. I think people were starting to buy in. They were 90 seconds away being 5-1.
Nobody was buying in.
And you know what happened?
Nobody was buying in.
You know what happened? Adversity set in.
Mm-hmm.
They dropped to 4-2. They have more adversity with a couple injuries, and Marvin shows his same old self.
Mm-hmm.
The moment adversity happened, he showed who he was. And now they're 5-6. Now they're not going to make the playoffs. Now they can't even beat the Browns at home, which is ridiculous. They've lost to two rookie quarterbacks back-to-back weeks. Andy Dalton looks like a rookie suddenly, and this team is floundering. It's on Marvin. He's got to go.
I have a friend of mine who works in another industry, not media, not radio. And he's worked there for around 12, 13 years, and he was ready to go. A couple of years ago, he was ready to go. His contract was up. He was ready to move on, and he's doing nothing but complaining about his bosses and complaining about the people that he's working for and complaining about the people that he's working with. But got time for the end of the contract, and he went in there, and he's like, I think it's time for a change, and they gave him some assurances. They gave him a little bit more money, but they gave him some assurances. Things are going to be better. Things are going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, dude, don't believe it. It's not going to be different. It might be different for a month or for the first couple of months after your new deal, but then – just as you illustrated, something's going to happen. Another coworker's going to leave. There's going to be a crisis. There's going to be just something's going to happen. And the same issues that have made you think about stepping out the door will manifest themselves again. People don't change for the most part. They evolve. The
sure.
best evolve. But they don't. But people in positions like Marvin's really don't change. Same person is now looking back at their decision to stay with regret, and a lot of Bengals fans who bought the whole, hey, things are going to be different, and hey, you know what, all we need is some different coaches on the defensive side of the ball, and it's things are going to be, well, guess what, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. And when you have the same people, not person, people, telling you that they are going to achieve different results, you're out of your mind if you believe that, especially when their track record is as long as Marvin's and Mike's and Andy's.
Marvin Lewis has shown us who he is. He's told us who he is with his press conferences that everyone seems to hate and complain about. The casual fan can't stand to listen to those anymore, and I get it. He's showed us by the results on the field, 8-24-1 over the past three seasons now, and we're supposed to believe anything else. We're supposed to believe he could turn this around. We're supposed to believe that they can make the – like, no, that's what he is.
Yes.
He's a 500 to below 500 football coach. Now, is his career record with the Bengals over 500? Sure. But what has he been? Period. That's it. I'm not going to blame this on injuries. I'm not going to blame it on anything else. And that's why if you're Mike Brown, who – I think Mike Brown is an intelligent man, should be able to look at this – and instead of, oh, well, Marvin, I'm comfortable with him. We're friends. We've gotten along. We've worked together for over 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
He should be able to look at it and say, all right, this is what Marvin is. We need a change.
But he did. And then he changed his mind.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's the scary part about this if you're a fan is you just wonder
James,
if
coming.
It's ever going to happen.
Oh, James, it's coming. I promise you what'll happen. The Bengals are, what, 5-6 now? They've got some more losses in front of them. They'll go to Pittsburgh. Like, I don't know, 6-9.
Oh, God. Don't tell me this.
They'll go to Heinz Field.
Don't tell me this.
Week 17, on December 30th, they'll go to Heinz Field and pull off the upset and beat the Steelers and maybe cost them a first-round bye. And, oh, you know what? You know. Boy, that team that showed up against Pittsburgh, I've seen it time and again. Not just last year. I've seen it before. I've seen it before. I remember in 1994 the Bengals winning on Christmas Eve against the Philadelphia Eagles because James Joseph fumbled a kickoff. finishing, I think, a 3-13 year.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bengals looked at that as a reason to announce that day that they're raising ticket prices. You know what? We won, so we can soften the blow. We can announce, hey, you know what? Fans are going to want to come watch more of this. I saw in 2001 when they won the final two games of the season. Yeah. You know,
they won the first two and last two that year, I believe.
Dick LeBeau. We keep him around, and we're going to be 2-14 the next year. I've seen it
happen time and again. They were 6-10 in 2001, right?
Right. Yeah. I've seen it happen time and again. And it happened last year. This whole thing about Marvin was going to leave, and Adam Schefter reported that Marvin was ready to step down and go do something. That was the Bengals allowing Marvin to control the narrative. They had moved on.
Mm-hmm.
Then they win those last two games. I've talked to people who were on that bus and Baltimore. Well, Mike Brown's telling everybody, you know, the way we played today, maybe we don't have to make a change. It's going to happen again. The problem with this, where we feel right now, there's too much of the season left.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough of it left for them to make the playoffs, I don't think, or to put themselves in a position to actually win a playoff game. But there's a lot of time for them to just win just enough to make them go, you know, even if Marvin's not going to come back, it's you. And therein lies, to me, the most frustrating part.
Mm-hmm.
Because a year ago at this time, we were at least entertaining, not just Marvin not coming back, but what kind of coach they might go after.
Mm-hmm.
And we were getting ahead of ourselves. Brian Kelly's never coaching the Bengals. Sorry.
I'd love it. I'd take him right now.
He just isn't.
Come on down, Brian.
Going to do that, okay? But we were at least having some fun with it. And it was a good time. And it's fun to imagine. And it's fun to throw out certain names. And it's mm-hmm. fun to think about what the profile of their next head coach may be. We can talk about Marvin not being here now. Hugh Jackson is an extension of Marvin Lewis, and I think would be considered, and Jason Lockhenfour from CBS talked about this yesterday, considered the successor, the most obvious possible successor. I'm sorry, I know you love Hugh. That doesn't move the meter for me.
No, and it shouldn't.
I want something that's not Marvin Lewis. I want something that's different. I don't want the closest thing that you can get to a continuation of the current head coach mm-hmm. without bringing the current head coach back. I want to search. I want to so number one, if you think Marvin Lewis is going to be let go or if he's going to step down, that's one thing. But even if he does, anybody excited about a guy that Browns players were openly mocking during and after the game?
No.
No, thanks.
No, and you're not – I agree with you. As much as I've defended Hugh Jackson over the past 2.5 years and his awful record in Cleveland, at the same time, change is change.
Right.
And the Bengals need change. It's been almost 2 decades now.
Right.
I'm 16 years.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yes.
I was 11 when Marvin Lewis got
James,
hired.
Think about that. I loathe this team right now. I loathe them.
I don't blame you.
I loathe them. They have sucked away my love for this sport, my love for this team. It's a team that that is one of the major reasons why I wanted to do this for a living. I'm now watching these games out of obligation.
Mm-hmm.
I come to work thinking of other things I can do besides talking about a team that I've loved for 33 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's not why I got into this, man. That's not why I want to do this. Like, this to me is personal now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and I think it is should be at least for you at least for another week. This is personal now, man. It is.
Yeah, and I get it.
Like, I'm sorry. I have one rule in sports: be good or be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, you're both. The Browns are okay right now, but they're certainly interesting.
They're very interesting.
You know, you people laugh at me because I talk about the Knicks all the time. I know there's a lot of folks who think the NBA is basically like 5 players and 3 teams, but pretty interesting. A lot of moving parts,
mm-hmm.
little degree of hope, a little bit. They're interesting. What's interesting about the Bengals right now?
Nothing. And the problem.
That really pisses me off.
Yeah. And here's the thing is the way the fans are feeling today. And I think 99.9, I haven't gotten one tweet defending Mark, not one.
How could you defend him?
No, and I agree, but I'm just saying, I haven't seen that person out there. There's not anyone left. It doesn't seem like to be, oh, there's injuries, or this is why you should defend Marvin. I haven't gotten that at all. So if that's the case, then if you're a fan, please, I would lose my mind if Marvin gets brought back. And I won't be here to do this show if he gets brought back in January.
Lucky you.
But if that's the case, then we should do it, and I could come on as a guest daily if you want. our daily, I can't believe Marvin Lewis is still the coach. segment. I mean, mm-hmm. because that he should not be the coach. I don't care if they finish 8-8. I don't care if they somehow get the 9-7 and barely miss out on the playoffs. By the way, they're not getting to 9-7. Did you see that team yesterday?
No.
This is not going to happen.
No.
But let's say it does happen. It's still stale. It's still boring. They still have no chance to win a championship. They still have no chance to win the division.
Right.
They are now, their outlook, the Browns will be better than them next year unless mm-hmm. they make wholesale changes.
Mm-hmm.
They're the fourth best team in the division.
And I don't even know who the Browns coach is going to be, and I feel that way.
I think they're going to have a better head coach than Marvin Lewis next year.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel. I think
mm-hmm.
a lot of that has to do with Baker Mayfield,
mm-hmm.
which we'll talk more about quarterbacks in a bit. But overall, like, you almost, and that's why if you're Mike Brown, I think maybe he actually does make a change. Because if you don't, you're fourth. Buckle up.
You think that matters?
Fourth.
James, it doesn't matter.
3-13, baby.
Right. Okay, fine.
Back to the 90s.
Nothing about my experience following Mike Brown would suggest that it matters. Doesn't listen to the outside noise. He has tens of thousands of people who used to buy his tickets that don't go near that stadium. You mm-hmm. saw it yesterday.
It was half Browns fans. I bet it was 40% Browns fans
in
all seriousness.
It was half Browns fans and also half empty.
That's right.
I mean, most tone-deaf man ever. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
So, you could say, well, you know, Mike Brown, he's going to be in last place next year. Well, maybe that compels him to make a decision, but mm-hmm. I'm guessing based on track record, probably not. There's no hope. I mean, you look at the 16 years, and everybody looks at, like, not winning a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of this season, assuming they don't make the postseason, he will have qualified for the playoffs in fewer years than he didn't qualify for the mm-hmm. playoffs. He has never gotten a first-round bye.
Mm-hmm.
He has never had the best record in his conference. In 16 years, he will have won a grand total of, correct me if I'm wrong, 4 division titles.
Is it 4?
05, 5, 09, 9. 13, and 15.
Okay, so
4 division titles.
I was thinking 3.
The point being, the floor should be winning a playoff game. That should be the floor.
Sure.
You're never reaching the ceiling.
You're talking, you've seen bad teams. The Texans a couple of years ago winning the playoffs.
We want Marvin Lewis to win a playoff game.
Yeah.
I want the Bengals to win a championship.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been anything about this guy, or I should say, has there been anything about the organization with the primary characters in place? Forget all these other dudes. Okay? Forget 95% of these players. They're interchangeable.
Sure.
Okay? All the time and breath we waste on clowns like Cody Core and John Raw, it doesn't matter. It's quarterback, coach, owner. You winning a championship with that trio?
No.
Thank you.
Zero chance.
And so therein lies, to me, the frustration.
Mm-hmm.
Because the conversation ends with that.
Yeah.
And that's not – I want conversations to be about roster and the draft and trades and a deep dive into the depth chart and schematics and formations and coaching staff and how they hold up against other teams. Those are conversations I love to have.
Mm-hmm.
Love.
Mm-hmm.
That's the lifeblood of sports talk radio and, to me, the lifeblood of being a fan. But we don't have those conversations because they don't matter. All that matters is same coach, same owner, same very uninspiring quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Same people and we're expecting different results from.
Who was that quarterback a couple years ago? It was the Texans quarterback that beat the Bengals.
T.J. Yates.
T.J. Yates, yeah. So there's an example. We're talking about a playoff win. T.J. Yates has a playoff win.
Exactly.
Minor league baseball player Tim Tebow has a playoff win.
Exactly.
That shouldn't be the bar.
Right.
So I'm 100% with you. And as far as the Andy Dalton thing goes, 100% with you.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is Marvin Lewis now, 16 seasons. The Cleveland Browns have been a dumpster fire for 15 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of 1 year with Derek Anderson. I mean, they've been just dreadful.
Right.
Right? What happens when they're good and Ben Roethlisberger's still playing and the Ravens have a new, young, exciting head coach with a new, young, exciting quarterback? Like, Marvin Lewis is taking advantage some.
I don't know if the Ravens coach thing will happen.
I have no idea. But the point is for years and years and years, one of the other three teams in your division mm-hmm. has been dreadful in the Browns. Well, that's changing. It's pretty obvious yesterday. That's changing now. You can't pencil in 2 wins when you have a pretty good team. And 4 division titles, 7 playoff appearances. How many of those don't happen if the Browns aren't a pushover? And moving forward, they're not going to be a pushover.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're the Bengals, you better get better. And you're not getting better with Marvin. It's just they haven't got. They're 18-24-1 since its best season.
Again, it's just
they're not. They're getting worse.
The boredom I feel with this team is reflected by the lack of change with the primary characters in the organization. I mean, I think we could extend this now to Hugh, but I mean, it's even like, you know, there's Vontaze Burfict mixing it up. Like, I'm bored with the whole Vontaze Burfict thing.
Sandy could outrun Vontaze Burfict.
But
right
Vontaze Burfict is now a liability. Like, we just keep talking about the same people and hoping for different things, and they don't happen, and it's boring. That's the defining adjective that can be used to talk about this franchise. They're boring. Mm-hmm. Does anybody really look forward to watching them play? Is anybody really spending a lot of time? Are like groups of dudes in Cincinnati going out on Saturday night, spending a lot of time talking about the Bengals? The answer is probably not. Mm-hmm. They're boring. They're boring.
And
just call them what they are.
And you know why
Marvin
they're boring?
Lewis is boring. Andy Dalton is boring. Mike Brown is boring. Their team is boring.
That's the point. Mike, boring. He's not selling the team, so we can cancel that one. Marvin, you could find a new coach that isn't Marvin. You could find a new quarterback that isn't Andy, and we will talk about that next.
Really quick, here's the thing with that. Why is Marvin Lewis here? Because he reflects what Mike Brown likes. Mm-hmm. Mike Brown's boring as a boring head coach. Mm-hmm. You think that's going to change? Do we think Mike Brown's hiring Sean McVay or the next Sean Payton? Do we? Come on.
Probably not.
Right.
Probably not.
Right. So, probably not. I'm going to help you with that. The answer is no. He's probably going to hire Hugh Jackson, okay? Hugh Jackson, boring.
I don't know. I have to watch the tape.
They say teams reflect the personality of their coach. Coaches often reflect the personality of their owner. Their boss is not all the time, because I think Jason Garrett's boring, and I don't think Jerry Jones is boring. I think Jerry Jones is a really bad owner. But still, do we think Mike Brown is going to hire the next forward-thinking, 21st-century, uber-modern, outside-the-box guy?
Well, that's why you said Brian Kelly would never be the Bengals head coach. You would never hire him.
Right. Well, and...
I don't think he would.
You think Brian Kelly wants to answer to Mike Brown?
Well, that...
I mean...
Exactly.
Let me help you. The answer is no. Everything you know about that guy's ego... Yeah. And I'm a big Brian Kelly fan. Think everything you know about that guy's ego, you think he feels like running upstairs to Mike Brown to ask if he could take his practice outdoors?
To the bubble he helped get, you see? He's Mo, I'm James. This is Cincy 360.
You get to move to Cleveland next week. I'm stuck with this.
I get to watch winning football in Cleveland.
I'm stuck with this.
It's a sentence
this.
I never thought I'd say. Up next, the problem with the Bengals is simple, and we'll discuss Andy Dalton's future as well. This is Cincy 360 on ESPN 1530.
60 resumes. Brought to you by Safe Auto. Give us 3 minutes, save up to 25% on ESPN 1530, Cincinnati's sports station.
This is the Skyline Chili Cincy 360 show. Go to Skyline, get the James special. 2 Cholitos in a three-way. Have you ever done that? You ever ordered a James special?
No.
It's pretty good, Mo. You should do that one day.
I might order that, but I'm not calling it a James special.
James special. I'm really creative with that. Or should we call it the James?
Here's just what I want to know. Usually the final segment of the show lasts like 2 minutes, and it's the part of the show where we talk about all the other stuff. Can we make that the longest segment today?
You know what's crazy?
I mean, really, like, people listening right now, would they rather hear mindless banter about other stuff or us crushing the most boring team in sports?
I think people want to hear, because they want to know that we're on the same page as them, which we are. The majority of them.
Yeah. The Bengals are boring. Next. Like, I mean, really? What is there to say? What is there? There is my personal challenge and my personal hell right now. I have another year of this.
You know what's crazy?
Without you, by the way. Thanks. You
know what's crazy? Yeah. You know what's crazy about that? Marvin Lewis, is his tenure in Cincinnati can outlive mine. What the hell? Come on, Marv.
You're only 16?
No. No, but think about it. His 10. Well, I guess that's true. I'm not 16.
Yeah.
I look 16 on some days when I shave, I think. At least people make that joke, which I'm sure you get too, because you look 16.
I look like a lot of things. 16 ain't one of them.
But no, like, think about that, though. Marvin Lewis going to be here. Is he going to be here Saturday? Will
James,
he be here Sunday?
A gigantic sinkhole could open up right in the middle of Cincinnati proper and swallow the entire city. And yet, after everything fell in, he would be standing there on the edge, now with Hugh Jackson next to him, his trusty confidant, the Lloyd to his Harry, standing there with his headset and his play sheet, doing that annoying thing where he constantly fiddles with the buttons.
Yes, he did. On his hip.
On his hip. Dude's been coaching for 16 years. He doesn't. The thing is, like, two buttons on it. Offense, defense. He never. It's like, oh, you know. I mean, he looks like me. Like when I was in college, I had a pager because I'm old. People had pagers. It's like he looks like he's checking his pager. Like, oh, can I get a number here? Who do I? Every time I look at him. Now that should be Hugh's job, because we sure know Hugh didn't really share any secrets. Remember that whole thing last week? Well, they got Hugh. And Hugh's going to be able to tell the Bengals what the Browns are going to do.
He didn't tell them anything.
He may have.
Do you think this is a ploy? He shared a long hug real quick on Hugh Jackson. I don't want to spend a lot of time on Hugh. But Hugh Jackson hugged Browns owner Jimmy Haslam.
It wasn't a very long hug. It was very awkward.
Was
like,
it?
Thanks for firing me, man.
All right. Well, they hugged.
Yeah.
You think this is all part of Hugh? Let's release Hugh into the wild.
Yeah.
We know he's going to go to the Bengals. Hey. Hugh, we'll hire you back in a couple years to be our OC. You know what you do? You sabotage things and you give them the wrong information.
You remember how
I'm kidding, but the fact that it was a blowout yesterday makes that believable.
Remember how in St. Louis, when the Reds hired Walt Jocketty, they were like, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
You think in Cleveland, when the Bengals hired Hugh Jackson, they were like, oh, man. Well, now we have no chance against him. They have Hugh. Hugh's new job should be to help Marvin Lewis with his. He should just hold
his
the
buttons.
Headset thing.
Who's been more?
What button do you want to hit?
I've basically for the past 4 years or so been your Hugh Jackson.
No,
you're special assistant.
You're good at your job.
A special assistant, and now it's coming to an end. Man, I'm gonna cry. Hugh Jackson, by the way, yeah, he went to the Bengals. That did rub Baker Mayfield the wrong way. Here he is yesterday.
Left Cleveland, goes down to Cincinnati. I don't know. It's just somebody that was in our locker room asking for us to play for him and then goes to a different team. We play twice a year. Everybody can have their spin on it, but that's how I feel.
There's Baker Mayfield. Your thoughts on that?
Is Baker going to be a free agent one day?
He shouldn't be. Cleveland should lock him up for 10 years.
Is he just going to tie himself up to the Browns for the rest of his career? Didn't he leave Texas Tech?
He did.
Okay. I like Baker Mayfield. What was Hugh supposed to do? He got fired by the Browns.
Sure.
Not take a job?
That his best friend wanted him to take?
I mean, I'm sorry. And then whole, like, well, Baker's used that as motivation. You should be motivated enough.
Sure.
Like, grow up. In that regard, I like Baker. Grow up.
All he said in this part, he was like, yeah, it adds to the rivalry a little bit. That's all.
And
I agree with that part.
What I think Baker meant to say was, yeah, that guy really didn't want to give me a chance. He wanted to play Tyrod Taylor. If not for Tyrod Taylor getting hurt, I would have maybe never gotten a chance under Hugh Jackson. He didn't want me practicing with the first team guys. I'm clearly better than Tyrod Taylor. Remember that part of the summer? Yeah, people Tyrod Taylor. You got Tyrod Taylor there in Cleveland. I think what Baker meant to say was, and you saw it with their pretty icy exchange after the game where Hugh's going in for a hug and Baker's like, yeah, bro, we're cool. I think
that was a long distance handshake.
I think it's easier for him to say what he said, which I think is kind of dumb. And I think what he would prefer to say is, yeah, as soon as I got in Cleveland, he didn't do anything to help me, and I'm glad I have someone else.
Yeah, and I was in that press conference, and part of the time he was like, yeah, we have coaches we believe in now.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would double back so it didn't make a headline. And like, not that we didn't believe before, but we definitely believe. And then, by the way, he's on ESPN right now, which is a good segue because we talk about interesting. There's no doubt Baker Mayfield interesting, his future very promising. I mean, he balled out. He outplayed Andy Dalton yesterday. A week, 8 days ago, in fact, Lamar Jackson, I would say, outplayed Andy Dalton. I think that's a fair assessment.
Yes.
The Bengals, over the past couple of drafts, have passed on Pat Mahomes, Deshaun Watson. By all accounts, never really entertained either one, drafting him 9th overall. They also passed on Lamar Jackson, which is one you and I were definitely vocal about in the fact that they should have drafted him. We talked a little bit about there not being much hope for this Bengals team moving forward, the future of the Bengals. I think a big part of that is their lack of being willing to go out and get Lamar, being willing to do a deep dive into Pat Mahomes and taking that risk, knowing that the upside that he has, because that's what I think we see with Lamar. We don't know if he's going to hit or not, But if he does, he could be a home run. Could be a grand slam. He has the upside. And with Andy Dalton, which you've seen over the past couple of weeks, you see anytime he's without number 18 and A.J. Green, even sometimes with him, upside, it's just not there. He's okay.
What do the Bengals hate?
Change.
Okay, you're right. They hate change.
Change.
But, like, what often necessitates change? Discomfort.
Oh, sure.
The reason Marvin Lewis is here.
Mm-hmm. Comfortable.
Comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
The reason Andy Dalton's here. Comfortable. The reason Marvin Lewis has never taken a quarterback out of a game for anything other than injury or the game just being a lost cause, creates discomfort. Controversy. Questions. We don't want that. If you draft Pat Mahomes, no, we have a controversy on our hands. If you draft Lamar Jackson, I'm going to answer these questions about the quarterback going to be? I don't want to create that. That's it. Yes, would I have loved to have seen the Bengals draft Lamar Jackson? Mm-hmm. Yes, because I think he could be an exciting, electric player in this league. I think he has a lot of upside as a quarterback. I'll admit that. I wasn't even really paying attention to Pat Mahomes in 2017 because never even entertained the idea the Bengals would draft him.
That's the problem.
Right, that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want the Bengals to now look at this moving forward, let's say next year they're in a similar position. I know the draft isn't regarded as a great one for quarterbacks, but if you want the Bengals to do that, what you have to ask them to do first is embrace discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
Well, start well before the draft. Do it now.
Sure.
Whack your head coach now. Well, that creates some discomfort.
Already should have happened.
That creates some. Instead, what they do is they maintain comfort at the top by scapegoating at the middle layers.
By the way,
last year, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get rid of the offensive line coach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. Well, you know, James Urban can't be here anymore. It's just the reshuffling these pieces that really don't matter all that much. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the same principles remain because comfort. Comfort. Again, with Andy Dalton provides great comfort. And mm-hmm. there's something to be said about that to an extent. But if you want the Bengals to take a look at the next potential quarterback, they have to embrace controversy,
mm-hmm.
hard questions, and discomfort.
Darren Simmons would be the interim head coach if I was calling
things. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
That would be the guy.
Yeah.
Because it's not Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson's been here for 2 weeks. He can't do that.
Right.
Darren Simmons would be the guy for me.
Don't say that to Hugh Jackson. He'd convince you. Yeah. Not only can he do that, but, you know.
They're going to make the Super Bowl
probably,
run?
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
I'm the next Lombardi.
Yeah. Like, to me, it makes.
Cool current reference by me. By
yeah, that. That's right. Next Belichick. I'll fix it for
Belichick.
You. There you go. That, to me, is it. And you're right. By the way, the Browns, they fired Hugh. They fired Todd Haley. What mm-hmm. happened?
2 wins.
2-1. Mm-hmm. They played well against Kansas City, by the way, their one
loss.
They
played pretty well, yeah.
Yeah, they hung in there against the Chiefs more than the Bengals did.
Yeah.
I mean, God, I know it was in Cleveland, but still, they hung in there. It was mm-hmm. a two-possession game for most of the day.
Absolutely.
Which is something against that Chiefs offense. Like, that's the thing is it gets players' attention, especially young players. This is a very young, especially with the injuries, young Bengals team.
Yeah.
Get their attention a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, you don't think the players say, oh, man, Marvin's been here a long time. Marvin, mm-hmm. Marvin's probably going to be here longer than I am.
Mm-hmm.
They all of a sudden, he's out. I better start impressing. I better start playing. Why do you think they won the last two games last year? As much as people want to say, it was Marvin.
They rolled over bad opponents.
That and the players realized, oh, my God, I don't know who's going to be the next coach.
Mm-hmm.
I need a job.
Yeah.
I'm playing for my job.
I think it's a very good point.
And you have to be – and by the way, that's what you have to do. You have to be selfish. You have to preserve yourself, so you have to play well. So guess what? They went out and they played pretty well, and they beat two non-playoff teams.
Yes.
I mean, that's what they did. So moving on from Marvin at this point makes all the sense in the world, and yet it won't happen. Evaluating Pat Mahomes 2 years ago – makes all the sense in the world. Evaluating Deshaun Watson, and what they would say is, oh, yeah, we evaluated them.
Mm-hmm.
They never seriously considered drafting a quarterback 9th overall.
Yeah.
They never seriously, even though Lamar Jackson was at Paul Brown Stadium, never seriously considered taking him 21st overall. I don't believe they did.
Marvin, last week, we played a game on the afternoon show called What Marvin Said Versus What He Meant to Say. He made headlines by saying, look, Lamar Jackson, if he runs that way, I'm paraphrasing him here, he's going to get hurt. And he's right. I mean, you can't ask your quarterback to run it 27 times.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, that was him telling you that's why we didn't draft him. What are the Bengals comfortable with? Pocket,
mm-hmm.
passers, don't move from the pocket,
yeah.
stay back. We're not really going to ask him to roll out. Just keep him back there in the pocket. Okay, got to beat, can't run. But pocket, okay? Need you in the pocket. That's their comfort. Instead of, you know, man, the way the NFL is nowadays, maybe there's something to be said, especially behind an offensive line that's not that good. Dude who can roll out a little bit, create some things with his legs.
Add some speed to the offense.
Give us a dimension. No, got back in the pocket, drop back, stand in that pocket. Okay, need you in the pocket.
You imagine the creativity they could use with Lamar and Gio and
yes.
Joe. Not this offensive coordinator, but a new one.
This offense it looks like it was conceived right around the same year that I was.
Yes,
so, no, I mean, the it requires you to step out of your comfort. And
yeah.
Look, I'll do this really quick. I don't have it in me to do a whole Dalton versus Driscoll thing. I just don't.
That's
and
fair.
I know that's what a lot of people want. Like, oh, Driscoll looked pretty good. Fine.
Against a team that kind of mailed it in.
Well, against
they let off the gas.
Against a defense that basically said, hey, you're not going to throw it over our heads, so keep it in front of you. I mean, and the Bengals had two scoring drives in the second half that totaled 13 minutes. If they would have been that conservative with the clock against the Steelers, they probably would have won that football game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they went into clock kill mode. This was like if you watch the Sugar Bowl when UC played Florida, because I tease Tony about this all the time. It got to be like 35-3 or something, and they were like, all right, to hell with this. Just dump it off, keep the clock moving. The Bengals were doing that late in the game. They're huddling. Driscoll's like letting the play clock expire. He was fine, and whatever. If you watched that yesterday and your takeaway was, well, you know, may have found something with that Driscoll guy, okay, good luck.
I think Greg Williams was very nice to Hugh Jackson and the Bengals.
Extraordinarily.
Seriously.
Nice. Yes, I agree.
Baker Mayfield had four touchdown passes in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
He threw four passes in the second half.
Yeah.
He could have thrown for seven. They could have hung 50 on your home field, and they could have danced in the middle, on the logo, or done whatever else they wanted to do, hand a ball to Marvin
mm-hmm.
and every other coach in the building. They could have kept running up and down the field.
I don't think they wanted to give up the points, but I think they were happy to let the Bengals just chew up clock.
Sure.
Keep
and
Baker
they did
out
that.
Of harm's way. I mean,
especially when Andy went down, it was kind of like, all right, we're not losing this game.
Right, and they weren't going to lose it with Andy in the game either.
No, but it was just that kind of slammed the door shut on anything.
I mean, you know, Driscoll was dumping the ball off to Joe Mixon because the Browns were saying, hey, dump the ball off to Joe Mixon. Go ahead. Keep the clock going if you can. That'd be great. I mean, it was – Jeff was fine. But if you watched that yesterday going, well, you know, maybe Driscoll should be the guy. Stop. Okay, no.
You know who should be the guy?
Jeff Driscoll's not the guy.
Lamar Jackson. You know who would attract an offensive mind, a young, inventive offensive coach?
But it's not about attracting. You have to be willing to hire them first.
Sure. I totally get it. I totally understand. But that's the whole philosophy. Like, Chick Ludwig, I've worked with him a ton here, in something he said to me a ton. Mike Brown thinks about quarterbacks morning, noon, and night. It doesn't feel like
it. Doesn't feel like it at all.
Doesn't feel like it anymore.
Well,
doesn't feel
about,
like that's the case.
Thinks about his quarterback.
Thinks about Andy and Marvin Monday
morning,
noon, night. I mean, if you thought about quarterbacks, wouldn't they have drafted one early the past 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in their defense, 2015 when they drafted Obwehi, there was no quarterback in that range near them. 2016,
right.
Same. But that's why last year Lamar Jackson made so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's why evaluating Watson and Mahomes and seriously considering one of them made a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, the Bengals played it safe.
Mm-hmm.
They stayed comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And where has it got them? Not making a move at the deadline. It's comfortable not to.
Mm-hmm.
It's risky, edgy to do so. So you're right. That is the issue overall. Is
what?
Just a philosophy that continues to be the narrative, to be the reality for people at Paul Brown Stadium.
What does Mike Brown never do? Never makes himself available.
Mm-hmm.
What does Marvin Lewis hate doing that he has to do?
Make himself
available.
Mm-hmm.
Those press conferences, he has a lot of company in his profession. He wants in, he wants out.
Anything else?
Anything else? Can I get out of here? He hates it. He hates it.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who sat at their in-laws' Thanksgiving table on Thursday that do so with more excitement and enthusiasm than Marvin Lewis asking and answering those questions. Well, when you do something edgy and interesting, mm-hmm. and not comfortable. But those press conferences last a little longer,
mm-hmm.
and there's more people in them,
mm-hmm.
and there's more questions, and there's more difficult questions. This franchise doesn't like difficult questions. It's one of the reasons why what they do with players who get in trouble is interesting to me, because when they drafted Joe Mixon, and Joe, to this point, has worked out,
mm-hmm.
But when they drafted Joe Mixon, that invited a special press conference for Joe, which I thought they handled, and he handled quite well.
They did.
But it's interesting. They're willing to answer those questions.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, we have to have a question. I mean, the one thing I think you'll never see is Marvin look at a quarterback when he's down 21-0 to go, pal, you don't have it. We're putting the other guy in.
Never.
Because that means quarterback controversy questions. If you draft a quarterback, if you take a Lamar Jackson, well, now Marvin almost every single day, not just the day they take him, every day in training camp. The first sign of trouble when his starting quarterback struggles if he keeps Andy Dalton here.
Mm-hmm.
Nonstop questions. You don't want those. The organization doesn't want those. Those are tough questions. Those demand availability. Those elongate the press conferences.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want that. They make decisions with that in mind. You can't win that way.
Yeah.
You cannot win that way. Bill Belichick hates press conferences.
Mm-hmm.
They whack mainstays. They trade away players. They bench guys.
They cut guys the day of the morning of the Super Bowl, or the day before the Super Bowl.
Yes.
They move on. Jonas Gray ran for 4 touchdowns. The next week he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Benched and then gone the next week. Or so it was. Yeah, no loyalty.
Right.
It's all about how do we win this week?
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. It's just the same old man.
Say what you want about what the Patriots did with Jimmy Garoppolo. It invited difficult questions. They've been asked. They've been addressed. Patriots are going back to the playoffs. Can we leave some time for quick hits so we could actually talk about interesting things?
Yeah, let's do that. He's Mo, I'm James. Oh, quick hits are next on Cincy 360.
Cincy 360 continues on ESPN 1530, Cincinnati's sports station.
Skyline Chili, Cincy 360 show rolls on ESPN 1530. The Stephen A. Smith show coming up at 1 o'clock.
Marvin Lewis!
Football show at 3:05. It is ugly, gnarly out, and chances are you're tired of turkey sandwiches. So how about Skyline Chili tonight? Stop in, get some cheese conies, get a three-way, and don't forget a couple of things. Skyline Chili Crosstown Shootout basketballs on sale right now, and there's a limited number of them, so get them now. And also, gifts, Skyline Chili gift cards. Buy me one. Make it Skyline time.
Make sure you tell Tony today at 305, 310, 420, whatever, that with those Skyline Chili basketballs, I'd love to play them one-on-one again. Rematch. I'm demanding a rematch with one of those
balls. I thought this segment we were going to talk about interesting
things. We are. I'm just demanding that.
Whatever.
It's time for Cincy 360 Quick Hits on ESPN 1530.
It's like Hugh Jackson demanding his job back.
I've already had to watch like 5 of the last 6 Bengals games, so I don't want to watch you guys play basketball.
It would be more entertaining. Quick Hits is a service of Rumpke Restoration. If you have water damage or need your carpets cleaned, maybe a flooded basement has left a mess, go to RumpkeRestores.com. Demarius Randall handed the ball to Hugh Jackson following his interception yesterday. I loved this. It was hilarious. Your thoughts?
One of the greatest subtle troll jobs ever. Ever.
It was great. And he didn't say anything, to, you know.
Just gave him the ball.
Hugh handled it well, hit him on his helmet, and then Randall sprinted to Browns fans, which is funny. Look, we love Chad Johnson here.
Mm-hmm.
Because what? Because he had success, he talked a lot of trash, and he backed it up.
Exactly.
You talk trash and back it up, you can do that.
I got no problem with
no
it.
No problem at all. Mac Brown is reportedly agreed to return as North Carolina coach to replace Larry Fedora.
So that guy that keeps emailing me about how Luke Fickell's going to coach North Carolina can stop.
Yeah, there you go. Mac Brown. Mac attack.
Mac Brown made his start there, was the coach of North Carolina for a very long time before going to Texas. He's in his mid-60s. By the way, I thought it was like really good on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was like really good on TV. That's a hard job in the ACC where you have
Clemson.
They're 2-9
that's a machine, right now.
It's a basketball school. They've had NCAA trouble. But Steve, or whatever the guy's name is, that keeps emailing me about how Luke Fickell is going to go coach UNC, you can stop now.
Speaking of Luke Fickell, the Bearcats, 10-2, they roll ECU on Friday. And what a season it's been for Fickell squad.
Des Ritter was fantastic in the first quarter.
Fantastic.
Look, that ECU team absolutely quit their fair catching kickoffs when they're down by 3 touchdowns. What a fun season. As much as, and I know not everybody's a UC fan, but as miserable as the football season seems right now,
mm-hmm.
and as bad as the baseball season was, and as much as the NCAA tournament outcomes from last year linger, right in the middle of all this, this beacon of light, this UC football season that I think portends future success. American Athletic Conference champs with Luke Fickell leading the way in 2019.
I could totally see it. And you're right. That out of all the negative stuff we've had over the past eight months or so in Cincinnati sports, that's one that stands out with Fickell's Bearcats. Speaking of the Bearcats, UC Hoops and Mick Cronin's squad won the Emerald Coast Classic.
I thought more good than bad. You saw the blueprint. Cumberland and Broome have to carry them offensively, but if you get other guys to step up, Fredericks did in the second half, and I thought made a world of difference against George Mason.
Yeah.
And you kind of saw that patent UC defense, and Mick Cronin said as much against Ole Miss. What I liked about it was they let a lead whittle away, and they never panicked on a neutral court. Let's not pretend Ole Miss is great. They're in a very crowded SEC. But I'm watching that going there. They were up 33-22. Ole Miss ties it at 39, and I'm thinking, Cats lose this game by 12. There was no panic by that team, which to me is a sign of progress.
Mo and Tony back at it today at 3:05. Plus, you can hear from Marvin Lewis. I'm sure Stephen A. will be talking about
Jim Harbaugh.
Marvin Lewis.
I remember for years I've been hearing about how Jim Harbaugh is about to take over the Big Ten.
Yeah, no chance.
By the way, I think if Oklahoma beats Texas, they should get the 4 spot.
I agree too, actually. I agree with that. I take back what I said about Ohio State. Sorry. I think Oklahoma is better. So Stephen A. Smith's show is next. I'm sure he'll be talking about Marvin Lewis.
Maybe.
He's Mo Egger. I'm James Erpine. That's going to do it for us today on Cincy 360.